Today's scripture lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 27. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Thanks be to God.
After that short video, I wondered whether I needed to preach a sermon or not. That was, I wanted to get up and say I'm done. Thank you for having me in your pulpit. You know, normally when I preach at a church, it is because I was invited. This time, however, I invited myself. I asked to be here. Because normally, whenever there is a change in pastoral leadership as the presbytery executive, I try to be in the pulpit as soon as I can after the pastor leaves. I understand that you all were away last Sunday, and so I missed that opportunity, but I'm here today. So thank you for allowing me to invite myself into your pulpit. Let us pray. Come, O Holy Spirit, and dwell among us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. As the executive presbyter for the Presbytery of San Jose, I have the privilege of serving the now 36 Presbyterian congregations, fellowships, new church developments, and new worshiping communities in the counties of Santa Clara County, Santa Clara, Santa Cruz, and Monterey. This means, among other things, working with our Committee on Ministry to support congregations as pastors come and go. As you can imagine, sometimes the departure is dramatic, maybe even traumatic. And other times, it is just the normal course of events in the life of a congregation. So here's what I'm thinking. While there is much attention paid to the change in pastoral leadership, I wanted to shift that focus today from the pastor to you, the congregation. Because I believe that congregations are the heart and soul of the presbytery. Indeed, congregations are the heart and soul of the church, capital C. Congregations are the hands and feet, the head and the heart of the church. I like to remind people, mostly pastors, that a church can exist without a pastor. But a church cannot exist with only a pastor. That's not a church. That's just some dude or dudette with an MDiv. Church. Dude with an MDiv. I've known your church for a long time now. I've known each of your pastors since I joined this presbytery in 1991. So that's 27 years. I've known Jack and Arlene since I was in elementary school. This October, my wife and I will celebrate our 22nd wedding anniversary, remembering that we were married in this sanctuary. That aisle looked a lot longer then. Not only because of your lovely campus, but for my personal desire that our guests would come and they would walk around and they would see what's on the bulletin boards. And I wanted our guests to see what was on yours. I wanted them to see notes of inclusion and justice. So I know you, and I've been thinking about you. If we're honest, we know that there's been a real mix of emotions in recent times here. Happy, sad, celebration, mourning, anxiety, relief, disappointment, closure, maybe stronger feelings, anger, betrayal, frustration. You might feel excitement at the new possibilities that lie ahead. Or maybe you feel fear of the unknown that lies ahead. You might be thinking, now we can finally get on track. Or you might be thinking, I'm tired and I'm done. I've discovered a valuable resource in my work with churches, the Bible. I know it sounds obvious, but really, one of the most important, helpful resources has been the New Testament, and in particular, the letters of Paul. I used to not like the writings of Paul. It's not as interesting as the Old Testament, not as important as the Gospels, in my opinion. I didn't understand part of what he wrote, and I disagreed with a lot of what he wrote. I still do. But the more I work with churches, the more I appreciated what he had to say to them. Don't forget, Paul's letters were all written to churches. Our text today describes, in his words to a church, the uniqueness and value of the various members of that congregation in Corinth, the value of unity and not uniformity. And he ends that chapter talking about the body. He ends that chapter with these words, but strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes on to write one of the most poetic descriptions of the meaning of love ever recorded. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Paul first reminds us that if we can speak like an angel, but we don't have love, we're just a bunch of noise. And if we had the power of prophets and had all the knowledge in the world, but if we do not, and even if we had faith such that we could move a mountain, without love, we're nothing. So the first theologian of the church, the organizer of the first congregations in Christendom, is saying faith that can move mountains is meaningless without love. He finishes this masterful chapter saying that in the end, all we have is faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Most of us know that Paul is not talking about familial love or romantic love or love between friends or even love of country. It is Christ-like love that he is describing. It is sacrificial love. It is thinking of others before thinking of yourself love. It is love that goes to the margins and makes it the center. Why does Paul write this letter to this church? He tells us at the very beginning of the book. Remember, this is a letter of 16 chapters. And in chapter 1, Paul says, "It has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters." I know, quarrels in the church. Can't believe it. So, right, the very first churches in Christendom quarreled. He goes on to say, "What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ." And Paul asks, "Was Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Apparently, people were separating into groups, aligning with certain figures in the church. "I'm with Apollos. He's with Paul. She's with Cephas." Paul reminds and encourages the church to remember whose church it is. Was Paul crucified? No, Jesus was. Were you baptized in Paul's name? No, you were baptized in Jesus' name. As I mentioned, Paul gives this masterful illustration of Christian fellowship as being like the human body with different parts, some important and honorable, some less so. And the fact that, like the body, we're all connected and we need to not treat one another. We need to not treat one another, not only the same. Paul actually is not arguing for egalitarianism. He's not saying everybody's equal and everybody gets treated the same. He, in fact, says the less honorable parts need more respect because the honorable ones, they're fine. Right? He doesn't say everybody gets treated equal. He, in fact, lifts up the less honorable, the lesser parts get more attention. He reminds the church in Corinth and us today that we are the body of Christ. And again, I think if we're honest, we should say we're trying to be the body of Christ, which means sometimes we get it right. And sometimes we get it wrong. We can't help it. We're people. We have this tendency to mess up. Love is not irritable. Man, I'm irritable all the time. I can think of no better symbol and reminder than the table in which we regularly gather around. You know the words, and maybe repetition has a way of dulling our hearing. But Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you." The table is a symbol and sign both of our brokenness, but also of our healing, of our redemption, of being accepted and loved. Whenever we gather, whenever we see this table, it's a reminder of our brokenness and our healing and redemption. It begins with our acknowledgement that we are broken too. and that if we have faith to move mountains, but if we don't have love, it doesn't mean anything, except that maybe we have work to do. I hope that for those who may have been upset in recent times, that you will find a way to lay your anger down. I hope that for those who may have stayed away, that they would find a way to return to the fellowship of faith. I hope that for any who may be thinking about leaving, I pray they reconsider and remain. Blessed be the tie that binds. You are about to enter a season of change. I don't know who said it, but I heard recently that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Will it be a period of uncertainty? Yes. Will there be anxiety? Well, it depends, but yes. Will you be without leadership? No. Will you be alone navigating uncharted waters? No. Will you crash against the rocks? People, please. Rob has left. Ananda is staying. And we're staying too. The Presbytery of San Jose and the Committee on Ministry stand ready to assist, to encourage, and to support in whatever way we can. We are working with your session to secure pastoral leadership for the transition and to help you begin the search process. So since I started with Paul and claimed that Paul has something to say to the church today, let me end with Paul's words as well. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Amen.